call right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Vandy boys are out. They are done. And that was at the hands of Wright State yesterday afternoon. And you could just tell the disgust in Andrew Allegretta's voice making that call. Reed, can we get that again? This is the final call, this juiced up, big-time moment, tying run at third, winning run, you know, at second, or I guess not the winning run because they, you know, were the road team. But play the cut again. This is like, this is the final play of the Vanderbilt season, the number one overall seed in the NCAA baseball tournament. Season over. Goodbye, everybody. And that is how it felt. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for The Game, streaming live, of course, on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So, I watched almost every second of the Nashville Regional this weekend. I say almost because I did not watch Wright State play ETSU. Sorry. But for everybody that watched this weekend and watched the collapse, a historic collapse by the Vanderbilt Commodores, the choke job that it was, I'm sorry, that's what it was. I cannot begin to tell you what happened to Vanderbilt. And I say that as somebody who saw the whole thing with their own two eyes. What a massive, and I mean massive, failure on the part of the Vandy boys and their head coach, Tim Corbin. And that's without saying, they should have lost on Friday night to Wright State. They shouldn't have even been in the game on Saturday night against Louisville. And yesterday, hate to say it, but they lost to a pitcher who had an ERA entering the game north of 8. Joe Rexroad said this morning he dropped his ERA by 2 runs in that one appearance. And it was a Wright State team that, and I kept saying this to Louisville fans last night during the finale, I kept saying, hey, I have a lot of respect for Wright State, and I do. But at no point last night, and again, I was there until the final out, at no point did they threaten Louisville at all from the first inning on. It was a disaster for the Vandy boys. And the real crux of the issue here is the why. That's what I want to know. That's the answer I don't have. Tim Corbin said after the game that he didn't think he prepared his guys for this. The Wright State coach said after the game that he felt like the pressure of being the number one overall seed was too much for Vanderbilt. And maybe there's something to that. But again, that's why you just forgot how to hit over the course of an entire weekend? If it was the pressure, I have to ask, why did they feel so much pressure? I have been watching Vandy baseball for 20 years. I go all the way back to Warner Jones and Ryan Mullins. I have been watching this team consistently for the last month. And everything that I loved about them, and I was pumping their tires as much as anybody around town, the things I loved about this baseball club, and I appreciate good baseball, the execution, the clutch hitting, the pitching, the defense, base running, it was all top-notch. From about the time they lost a midweek game to Louisville, probably about 3 weeks ago, and then they had the 2 out of 3 at Tennessee, and then they swept Kentucky, and then they ran roughshod in the SEC tournament, every single one of those aspects, pitching, defense, base running, power, they had it. We're talking about five-tool players. A five-tool player in baseball is somebody who, A, can run, B, can throw, C, can field, D, hit for average, and E, hit for power. Those are the five tools. Vandy was a five-tool team. They were the number one team in the country. And I have to ask, did they not have any pressure on them before this season or before the first Wright State game? And if they did have that pressure on them, didn't some of that pressure, I would hope, get alleviated by the fact that they were saved by the Angels in the outfield in game number 1? when Riley Nelson hit that home run that, again, I couldn't see. TV can't show you an angle of whether or not the ball is fair or foul. The first base umpire called a foul ball. Now, in fairness, I did have, you know, I sat behind home plate last night because there was nobody in the building for the Louisville-Wright State game. And so the home plate umpire would have probably had a better vantage point of that home run than the first base umpire. But the home plate umpire, you know, I guess they came together and decided to call it a home run, and then Wright State reviewed it. And when they put the review, I kept watching the replay on TV. I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't actually see the baseball. Like, they're trying to show me a slow-mo replay of what's happening, and I can see the car moving in the background on 25th Avenue, but I can't see the actual baseball. So I knew there was no way to overturn that, even though they overturned the original call. And so, again, Vanderbilt got blessed. They got absolutely blessed on Friday night. And so if you're feeling that pressure of being the number one team, and then you get smooched on the lips by an angel. Again, angels in the outfield. It was like a Disney movie. Vandy boys in the outfield. How does that much pressure cause some sort of contagious disease to the entire lineup where they just forget how to hit? And again, the other question I have is, where did the added pressure of this specific tournament compared to the pressure of the SEC tournament, compared to the pressure of playing on the road at UT just a couple of weeks ago, where did this come from? And then how does Tim Corbin, an all-time great, probably the greatest coach in the history of Vanderbilt athletics, in all seriousness, and I don't think this is hyperbole to say, probably the greatest and most accomplished individual in the history of Vanderbilt athletics. A Hall of Famer. How does he not see this coming, and how is he not prepared for this? And I'm telling you something, and I mean this with total sincerity. I am not wagging my finger at Vanderbilt. I am not saying, Tim Corbin, how dare you lose this weekend? RJ Austin, how dare you be unable to hit in any moment in this regional? Vandy baseball, Vandy's offense, how dare you? I'm not saying that. They didn't try to go out there and do that. They weren't lazy. It wasn't like they spent all week reading their press clippings and thought their farts didn't smell. I mean, look, Vanderbilt knew, because everybody's been doing this long enough, Vanderbilt knew they were the favorite, and Vanderbilt knew it was possible that Louisville was going to come in here and win this regional. I knew it. They knew it. Louisville knew it. Again, Louisville could be the number one team in the country. Vanderbilt could lose every game in a row, win the SEC tournament, get the automatic bid, and if those two teams match up in the regional, everybody knows, hey, man, anything can happen between these two teams. But again, like, what happened with Wright State? Vanderbilt losing this regional is not something that I am utterly shocked by. Am I surprised? Yeah, I am. Was I predicting Vanderbilt was going to win and that it was going to be three games and out the way Louisville won it? That's what I thought Vanderbilt was going to do? Yeah, I did. But this is college baseball. And strange things happen in this tournament every single year. We are 3 years removed from Ole Miss being the last team in the tournament to winning the national championship. So strange things happen in the NCAA baseball tournament. Strange things happen in regionals. But Vanderbilt, as a team, was cool as a cucumber for the last month of the SEC season. They won the SEC tournament, in which we thought was the best league in all of ball. Now, they're, I think, is maybe a little bit of a question to that after the way the SEC has performed so far in the regional. But they swept Kentucky. They took two out of three in Knoxville with a head coach who has been there and has done that and has seen everything. I mean, Tim Corbin has been the number one team in the tournament before. Tim Corbin has played against the number one teams in the tournament before. He's done it all. Surely he's prepared for, okay, if we get the number one seed, this is how we're going to have to act. If we do this, this is how we're going to, this is how we want the players to relax before, because we don't want to put too much pressure on them and blah, blah, blah. But to watch that team, again, cool as a cucumber, fall apart like an eight-year-old with stage fright at their first school play? Shocking! And again, it would have been one thing for them to lose to Louisville. Again, I was rooting for Louisville all weekend, and everybody knows that. And Vanderbilt, I appreciate the fact that they took it the right way. Again, I went there. One of my best friends is the athletic director. I know the coach very well. I know a lot of people in that program very well. I'm rooting for Louisville. And they invest millions into the baseball program, and I would argue they certainly don't get millions in return. Louisville's been to Omaha. They've been to the Super Regional. They've hosted regionals before. You know, did I think Louisville's going to win? No. But I didn't think it was impossible. I would not have been absolutely stunned if you told me, hey, Vandy's not going to get out of the regional. That happens. The fact that Vanderbilt got outplayed by Wright State and got outplayed twice, the fact that they led for one inning across three games, the fact that Wright State, I have to assume if Vanderbilt's the number one team in the tournament, I have to assume Wright State was the last team invited into the NCAA tournament, beat them for 16 out of 18 innings? I need an explanation that makes some sense. Because that was, unfortunately, truly an all-time choke job by Vanderbilt. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. The worst weekend, I assume, in the history of NCAA baseball, considering the fact that Vanderbilt is the number one seed, and since it has been at this format, no team has been the number one overall seed in a tournament and not made the regional final. It has happened. Of course, Vanderbilt in 2007, the example of a team, number one seed doesn't get to supers. That's happened. But it has not happened where they don't even get to the regional final until yesterday. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. And now we got to get to Tim Corbin. And this is going to be a different frontier for Tim Corbin than it was in 2007. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Oh, no, Andrew Allegretta says, I will say this. I thought the Vandy boys were totally done. I mean, just dead in the water. And then Wright State, because again, Wright State's coach, every time he went to the bullpen, he had the kid throwing the no-hitter, and he pulled him out on Friday night, and they go to the bullpen, and it was a disaster. And then he's got his kid, again, came into the game with an 8 ERA, and he was looking good, you know, against Vanderbilt. He comes out because he's throwing like 110 pitches. He comes out, they go to the bullpen, and Vandy immediately mounts a threat, and it's a bounce here, it's a bounce there. That is this sport. And I'm not saying, you know, it's one thing if it were a bounce here or a bounce there against Louisville, or if it was a bounce here or a bounce there against a good team, you know, in the Super Regionals. But no disrespect to Wright State, who I have a lot of respect for, it shouldn't be a bounce here or a, you know, home run, fair, foul call there if you're the number one seed in the country. And here's the thing on the Tim Corbin front, because I think this needs to be addressed as well. There is a Tim Corbin element in all of this. I remember 2007, and I remember 2007 very, very well. And I remember when they lost, and David Price came in relief, and this pinch hitter for Michigan, who had an average of like 100, hit that game-winning, regional-winning home run. And I remember the sentiment, as far as Vanderbilt fans were concerned, of which I was at the time, being like, oh, no, this was our team. This was our opportunity. But it wasn't like I said, what's the matter with you, Tim Corbin? I do kind of feel that way right now. Because while it's been well documented that Tim Corbin is not the most gracious loser, I do think he was much better at accepting it 15 years ago than he is today. You know, I remember when they lost, in 2007. And he was quick to write a letter to the Vanderbilt fans, you know, talking about the season or a blog post or whatever it was. I remember when they lost the year later in 2008, and he said they got walked off in the loser's bracket game, the same game that they got beat in this past weekend. They got walked off in the loser's bracket game, and Corbin did a radio interview the next day, and I remember him saying, hey, it didn't really matter if we'd won that game. We had no pitching. You know, just accepting it. But Tim Corbin on Saturday night threw a total tantrum after the game was over that I thought, number one, was disrespectful to Aria Gerson, the Tennesseans' Vanderbilt beat writer. And two, I believe his demeanor clearly affected the baseball team and affected them negatively. And when it comes to how the weekend looked, Tim Corbin gets up there after they lose to Wright State and says, I didn't prepare these guys well enough. Strike one. Then we go to Saturday. You, again, get blessed on that Nelson home run in game one to beat Wright State. Because, again, I couldn't even see the baseball when they showed the replay. I don't understand how anybody could have told anything from that. So you survive by the skin of your tush in game one. You get to game two, and Tim Corbin, in my opinion, made a massive mistake. And a lot of coaches say, well, the media always second guesses us, and if we had gotten it right, the media would have said, what a genius. The ball didn't bounce our way, so now the media thinks we're dumb. And the decision he made in the Louisville game to go from Bowker to Fennell, who was his third starter and was probably the most effective pitcher Vanderbilt had had down the stretch, was a terrible decision. They're down by one in a game that is not an elimination game. You're for sure playing tomorrow no matter what. Like, if you're Tim Corbin, you are for sure going to play on Sunday, whether it is in the winner's bracket game, you know, the late regional final, or whether it is the loser's bracket game at 2 o'clock. You know you're playing tomorrow. You know you're going to need a third starter. And he just sends Connor Fennell out there because he was trying to win that game. He was so desperate to try to win that second game, which, again, it puts you in good shape to win the regional if you get out in front of the winner's bracket at the beginning. But it is not impossible to win out of the loser's bracket. And Tim Corbin has done it before. In fact, in 2010, Tim Corbin went to Louisville, who was a national seed, and they lost the second game with Sonny Gray pitching, and they came back through the loser's bracket by pitching a guy, Richie Goodenow, who I don't think had even pitched that season, went like 8 2/3 and didn't give up a run. And then they got to the Monday night game. Corbin's got Connor Fennell, who's his third starter, and he brings him in relief and burns him in a game that he's losing. That's bad baseball. I'm sorry. That's bad baseball. And then after the game was over, I thought he just made himself look like a complete and total ass. And I know he's not that. But he made himself look that way with the way he handled that question from Aria, which was she asked about what happened with the offense, and he looked at her like she was a moron and asked her what she meant, and then asked her if she had ever played playoff baseball before, which, of course, you know the answer is no. And so I thought this was a bad weekend. From a mindset and preparation standpoint, I thought that was a bad weekend from Tim Corbin and getting his team ready to play. You know, in this case, it feels like they were too ready to play. When it comes to the actual strategy of the weekend, I thought it was bad baseball from Tim Corbin to throw Connor Fennell when they were losing down by one. It would have made more sense if they were winning by one and Tim Corbin said, I want Connor Fennell out there because I want to win this game and get on to Sunday and for sure play Monday at worst. That I would have understood, but they were losing. And so I thought that was bad strategy. And then I thought after the game, I just thought that was incredibly poor form from Corbin. And I know Corbin's had his moments where he gets short with the media, but I'm not sure I've ever really seen this. And Tim Corbin is too classy and is too intellectual to be acting like that. I'm just going to say it. So, again, we talk about Vandy and the choke job that they had, and that's on all of them. You know, that's on the team, too. But then when it comes to Corbin, I thought he had an exceptionally, exceptionally bad weekend. 615-737-1025. We are to some phones on this. Your reaction to the Vanderbilt. Again, this is, I got to believe, the worst weekend in the history of the NCAA tournament. We'll get to that next. Stoneman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. There you go. That was Tim Corbin. And he says, hey, you know, I feel bad for the team. And I get it. And he talked about, I didn't equip him well. And it's always a tough feeling when you lose. And, you know, I hear that. But this was different. This was an all-timer. This is truly one of the worst weekends in the history of NCAA baseball. This has not happened since this format expanded in 1999. They did not get to the regional final. Now, I want to get to some phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. I did see this in the text line where one texter was talking about Tim Corbin. Ben says, quote, he is still a great coach, and he has skins on the wall, and he isn't going anywhere. He would have to be dog water for 5 years straight for this to be a story. Next subject. Nobody is perfect, and he has earned plenty of room for mistakes. So Ben, in the text line, is of the mindset, you know, this offensive, which, boy, this is the way it used to be around here. Now, Nashville has grown as a city, and I think we've gotten a little bit tougher as a media, and I'd like to pat myself on the back for some of that. But again, this kind of used to be the way that people were in Nashville, which is like, again, this guy saying, Tim Corbin's not getting fired. Question, did anybody suggest Tim Corbin be fired? Did anybody suggest it? Did Robbie and Joe suggest it? Did Big Joe and Frazier suggest it? Did the Midday Show suggest it? Did you suggest it? Did I suggest it? Reed, are you suggesting Tim Corbin be fired?
No. Not at
all. No. Nobody is saying Tim Corbin should be fired. Does that mean that Tim Corbin didn't ruin Vanderbilt's chances this weekend? Ruin might be strong, but he certainly hurt. Absolutely. That does not mean. Again, you got to stop with this sacred cowism stuff. And I was actually thinking about this today when I was listening to Robbie and Joe talk about Vanderbilt and the choke job that they had. And I was thinking about kind of the way I believe the city has cared or not cared about college baseball over the last 20 years. When we were a smaller city and really, you know, kind of a small market town bordering on mid-market town, anything going on at that point in time mattered. It wasn't all football, football, football all the time. The Predators, you know, weren't really successful, so they didn't matter that much. And so Vandy baseball was David Price, local kid, you know, again, small town, that's our boy, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so people were behind it, but then I don't think there was a lot of criticism either, which, again, is something that's a little new. And then Vanderbilt was really good, you know, for a while there. And there was the 2014 championship, and there was the 2019 championship, and they got to the final in 2021. And it was kind of like the Vanderbilt fans were angry because it just didn't get a lot of talk. And at this point, Nashville was really transforming into a mid-market city, but more so trending on large market. You know, in 10 years, we're not going to be Philadelphia, but we're going to be a lot closer. And I hope everybody understands that. And so the choice, you know, college baseball in the bigger markets, it's not really that big of a deal. And so it kind of fell by the wayside. Tennessee being good has been the best thing that has happened to both college baseball and, in my opinion, Vandy baseball, because now most people, you know, hey, there's the Vanderbilt fans, there's the Tennessee fans, and there's a large faction. Across the country, the case with the Dallas Cowboys, and across the South with the Tennessee Volunteers. There's a lot of people that are just not Tennessee fans. They just root against Tennessee, just like they root against the Dallas Cowboys. And so it, Tennessee being good has made college baseball as a whole matter more here, and it has made Vandy matter more. And Tim Corbin is the head coach and the representative of Vanderbilt baseball. And if you can't live with calling a spade, nobody has been more positive the last month about Tim Corbin than I have been. Talking about this time last year, I didn't think Tim Corbin could change. I didn't think Vanderbilt could turn it around. I didn't think, I apologize, I this, I that. Nobody. But if you're somebody who's still living in 2007, where how dare you criticize our coach, he's our guy, then go back and go move to a smaller city. Because Nashville is not there anymore. This is big boy stuff. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, give me a break with this idea of next subject, don't talk about Tim Corbin. He had a terrible weekend. Terrible weekend. Again, I mean, they were talking about, well, you know, against Kentucky, he pitched Connor Fennell and Bowker. He pitched them back-to-back. And against Tennessee, he pitched them back-to-back. And yeah, those aren't elimination tournaments. And he didn't know that he was going to, for sure, play an elimination game the following day. I guess you could argue in the SEC tournament there was some of that, but I thought the reason that they pitched Fennell behind Bowker in the SEC tournament was to line everything up for the regional so they could pitch whoever when they wanted to, and they had everybody, nobody on short rest, and everybody ready to go. Not so they could throw him out there against Louisville with them losing and then put Austin Nye, their midweek guy who's a freshman, in a position of, hey, man, go save our season. And I'm sorry. That's bad coaching. And it should be discussed. Ben says, with Vandy, we have to accept that we'll never be better than Tim Corbin as coach, so nitpicking is a waste of time. Okay, so should nobody have ever criticized Belichick when he benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? That's bad coaching. Eli from Smyrna says, as a Vanderbilt fan, I am absolutely gutted. The team was set up for a great run. I don't want Corbin gone, but I don't know really where they should go from here. But this has become the story as of the last couple of years. They do really well in the regular season, but can't make it out of the regional. So they have not made it out of the regional. They've hosted twice over the last 3 years, and they have not made it out of the regional. They got to the College World Series final, although that was a little fracata, if we're going to be honest. They got there in 2021. They would have lost to NC State. They got there because NC State essentially got kicked out of the College World Series because of COVID. So make of that what you will. But they have not gotten out of the regional since 2021. And it's 2025. And so I understand the idea of like, hey, you know, oh, we got to do a little bit better. And so I think Eli's saying like, hey, where do we go from here? There is really, in my opinion, no going from here. And I thought, again, Aria Gerson, who covers Vanderbilt for the Tennessean, and I think does a fabulous job. And I'm not even saying this because her and Corbin got into it over the weekend. I'm saying it because I did not even see the exchange between her and Corbin. And I texted Gentry, and I said, I think Aria does a really good job covering Vandy baseball. But she pointed out, she wrote a story that was basically like, you know, hey, you can talk about NIL and transfer portal and assistant coaches and everything else all you want making changes. The issue was Vanderbilt's head was stuck up its ass this weekend. I mean, again, Tim Corbin said it. They felt the pressure. That's a mindset thing more than it is anything else. Where do you go from here? You reload and you go at it again with Tim Corbin as the coach. And if you get the number one seed next year, hopefully he's learned a lesson or two. I mean, I'm sure you want like some sort of tangible you know, fire this guy and this guy will be the savior. And that's not what you do, though. If Tennessee loses today to Wake Forest, which, again, we'll see. The SEC has not been as impressive as they would lead you to believe so far in this tournament. If Tennessee loses to Wake Forest today, where do they go from here? Well, you just, Tony Vitello runs it back next year. That's what you do. So for the one guy that's like, they're not firing Corbin, I agree. For the other guy that's like, where do we go from here, Jared? Well, Corbin runs it back next year. Reload the roster, replace a couple of guys, hope a couple guys stay, and on you go. That's how it works. 615-737-1025. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. Plus, one of my favorite things that I do, I absolutely have to get into this. It's one of my favorite things that has happened over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game. And let me tell all the fine folks that the PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Just text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details. There you go. That was the call right there from Andrew Allegretta on the game Saturday night. So there is one thing that I am absolutely laughing my tush off at when it comes to Twitter, you know, and especially the Tennessee Vanderbilt fans and the rivalry. So I have been saying, hey, Tennessee was this time last year. I'm like, hey, Tennessee's the number one seed in the tournament. They were on their way to winning the championship. Vanderbilt got knocked out by High Point. And I was like, Tennessee is overtaking Vanderbilt. Then Vanderbilt pushed back this past season. When Vanderbilt took 2 out of 3, Vanderbilt spanked them 10-0 a week ago in the SEC tournament. And, hey, you know, Tim Corbin back on top. 2 national titles to 1. Vanderbilt's beating UT right now. And the UT fans, when Vanderbilt lost yesterday, the UT fans were like, ha, 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 Jared Stillman. How's Jared Stillman enjoying this? And I was laughing my ass off because I'm like, guys, I'm rooting for the other team. Like, I'm rooting for Louisville to win the national championship. That is my team. And so someone yesterday, they were like, let's get a live, someone check on Jared Stillman after Vanderbilt lost. And I'm like, I put up a picture of my buddy who closed out when Vanderbilt got beat by Louisville in the Super Regional in 2013, my buddy Cody Eagy was the one who closed it out. And there was a picture that was taken of him, you know, on the ground, you know, just with his arms in the air. And I just put that picture up there. How am I doing? I'm doing great. Now, look, I'm not going to come on here and be like, ha, 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 my team won. Because I've been on the other side of this, especially in the Louisville-Vanderbilt rivalry. I've been on the other side of this, you know, of watching Louisville win 50 games in 2010. And be gutted by pitching performances from Richie Goodenough and Grayson Garvin. So I know what goes around comes around in this sport. And these two teams, you know, it's very intertwined. But if you want to know how I'm doing great. Vandy, on the other hand, they're not. 615-737-1025. One texter says, Jared, I know you cherry pick and watch college athletics, but Vanderbilt was actually very average all year as far as hitting goes, but they just got hot on a 3-week stretch. They pretty much just reverted to what they did most of the season. As someone who truly loves watching the fake Tim Corbin turn into a petulant child every time they lose was quite entertaining. So I know there were some people that were like, hey, all season, Vandy's bats, they've been ice cold, and then they just got hot, and they this and they that. Dude, it's Wright State. And again, I keep saying this, and then I crap on them. Like, I have a lot of respect for Wright State. I have a lot of respect for their coach. I mean, again, I was sitting at the game yesterday, you know, the Louisville-Wright State game. We were sitting, you know, right to the left of the press box, you know, kind of behind home plate, and it was me and the athletic director. And we kept saying to each other, the Louisville athletic director, and we kept saying to each other, like, man, we got a lot of respect for Wright State. We got a lot of respect for their coach. You know, we, and trust me, we've got a lot of respect for Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt too. But you need to be able to outscore Wright State for more than just two innings out of a possible 18. Give me a break with a Vandy's been this way all year. Vandy scored 10 runs on UT a week ago. 10. I don't even think Vanderbilt scored 10 runs in the over the weekend. And again, go back to Saturday. Vanderbilt scored twice against Louisville. And they needed three mistakes. A passed ball, a two-base pass ball for their first run. And they needed the first baseman to throw to the wrong base. He should have stepped on first instead of trying to throw to second to get the double play. He should have stepped on first and then thrown the ball to second. And the third baseman, who after it's first and second and nobody out, gets a ground ball to third, and he tries to tag the runner. And once he doesn't tag the runner, I'm like, keep it, keep it, keep it. Again, I'm rooting for Louisville here. And I'm like, keep it, keep it, keep it. And I see him go to throw, and I think, uh-oh. And he throws the ball over the first baseman's head, throws the ball in the dugout, and Vanderbilt scores off of that. That's how they scored their runs. So, again, you can tell me that, oh, no, Vandy, they were this way all year. This way where they couldn't get a hit until apparently the eighth and ninth innings against Wright State. That wasn't who they were. Boy, some people are coming after Corbin today. One texter says, boo-hoo, couldn't have happened to, I'm not going to say the word he said, but couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. One texter said, Vanderbilt must have been reading their headlines or listening to the Stillman and Company program, and the irritating whistle didn't help. So, a couple years ago, I was watching Vandy baseball, and I heard the whistler, and I was like, get this crap out of the game. And I made a comment to Gentry Estes about it, and Gentry said to me, he goes, you know, I don't even notice it anymore. So, I'm sitting in the Louisville section Saturday night, and all my, you know, buddies around that are, they're like, oh, God, that whistle is so annoying. Oh, my God. And I told him, I was like, you know, I don't even notice it anymore. And maybe that's like me saying you need to learn to deal with it. And in reality, it is just obnoxious. But I actually kind of think, you know, it blends in. It's their thing. Now, if I was a Vanderbilt fan, I wouldn't do the clapping, you know, the stomping and the clapping with the whistle. I wouldn't do that. But it's not that bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Scott says, and I think this is actually a pretty good text. I don't disagree with what you're saying about Vanderbilt, but the way the tournament is seeded is strictly by geography. Wright State was nowhere close to being the worst team in the tournament. The regional was ranked the fourth or fifth toughest. Because if you're outside of a 400-mile radius, the NCAA has to buy plane tickets, and they are cheap and don't want to do that. So inside 400 miles is a bus trip. If that's the case, that's pretty screwed up. But again, we were talking, us Louisville fans, we were like, is Wright State the worst team? But I mean, Wright State also played SEC teams this year. They played Auburn, they played Ole Miss, they played somebody else. And those games were like 9-1, 10-1. The ERAs of their pitchers. You know, the guy that no-hit Vanderbilt in the first game was a 5 ERA in the Horizon League. The guy yesterday that Vanderbilt could not figure out was an 8 in the Horizon League. So give me a break on that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Last year, the Titans talked so much about how good they were going to be and how great things were and how awesome it was now that the big bad Mike Vrabel was gone. And I dubbed it the offseason of toxic positivity. And if you remember, about this time last year, people were saying, what does that even mean, toxic positivity? That can't be toxic. And then you saw by week three, yeah, all that sunshine pumping was a bad idea. And I think they're starting to do something this year that, again, I just intellectually want to know. How did you get there? We'll get to that next. Someone accompany 1025 the game.